This is John Martinka, and my special guest today is David Henderson with CyberStreams. CyberStreams.com is the website. David Henderson, S-O-N at the end, is at CyberStreams.com is his email. And David can also be reached at 206-388-3084. David is with, as I said, is with CyberStreams, and they are a managed service provider. And as you might guess from the name, also do some things with cybersecurity. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And welcome, David.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Give us a quick overview of CyberStreams.
Yeah. CyberStreams is based in the Seattle area. And we're focused on providing full service outsourced IT to small and medium businesses, throughout the greater Seattle area.
Okay. What's the target size of a potential customer for you?
You know, we focus a lot on manufacturing, and in a manufacturer, they're usually 20 to 200 people and have 10 to 50 computers. But generally anywhere, as small as 5 computer users, and as big as 80 or so computer users is a pretty good fit for us.
Okay. You're working with these small, mid-sized companies. My experience is they typically don't pay as much attention to the technology as they should. Mm-hmm. So what are the top few problems you've run into with clients of yours, and how do you solve them?
That's a good question, John. We do, for a prospective client, an analysis of their environment, and it results in a 36-point chart. It's a really nice kind of eye candy chart for executives that have red, yellow, and green boxes and kind of cover a myriad of problems. It's pretty common when folks come to me and, Jim, who's also the sales manager, is doing a great job on our IT. Or I have a guy, that guy they call, and he's always the one that shows up when he shows up and that kind of stuff. It's really typical that, anywhere from 50 to, 95% of those boxes are red or yellow. Most typically, the security boxes are all red. The security is the area that small business owners typically seem to care the least about. That guy, whether it's the guy that works out of his house, or the one or two man shop, or the owner or whoever, they just don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't have the tools, and quite frankly, they don't have the right fear. So it really is security is the big mark, although, it runs a gamut of issues and problems. Kind of the second biggest thing that we'll see is that, they'll say, oh, we just don't need a lot of IT. We're fine. And, I call that gravity pulls up. So what they're not calculating is all the lost productivity, the people trying to solve their own problems, or the people that just can't be productive because their stuff isn't working right. They don't have anybody to call. They're not experts, it's quite a bit to it. Security, loss of productivity are the big ones though.
And that loss of productivity triggers an old story. A person bought a business and the seller was not that into technology and stuff, just like what you were describing. And he was also very cheap. And he had a very old printer in the accounting department. And the new owner came in and started looking around, and he replaced that printer, and the accounting department's productivity went way up because they weren't sitting there with an old printer that had to spool their financial reports before they could print them. And, it's the old penny wise, dollar foolish.
Oh my gosh. I have 1,000 stories like that, John. So I've actually gone and just bought a printer for a client because it was causing me so much productivity issues, right? They'd rather suffer through it failing all the time, call me up yelling and screaming to get a tech out there right away, buying them a new printer, save me hours of drive time. So there's a lot of that out there. Not a client anymore.
We'll call it the exam of the company, and you've helped them solve their major problems, or you've solved all their problems, if that's possible.
No.
What are the things you can do for a small business to help them improve, not just fix?
Yeah, you know, that's a hard question because there's so many different things out there.
Just a few examples.
Well, I would say right off the bat, we often go in and people just have a whole lot of really old computers and old equipment. And so working with them to budget for upgrades and doing that in a smart way, sometimes that's helping them to get on a lease, that sort of thing. Then there's taking a look at productivity software. Are they on the right ERP system? We're often coming in and people are running off an old server, and they have really an inability to work, anywhere, anytime. So, you know, working that dependence on a piece of hardware sitting in their shop into the cloud, some of those kinds of things.
Okay. All right. Well, let's shift over to what makes the headlines, and that's cybersecurity.
Right.
Or ransomware. Breaches of cybersecurity are what make the headlines.
Right. Right.
So, this is a big topic. We've seen the headlines recently: SolarWinds, Microsoft, LastPass.
Right.
Talk about what you do to prevent breaches for your clients.
Yeah, you know, before I answer that question, I would say, I often do a comprehensive presentation on cybersecurity. Done one for your group before,
right,
John, right? And one of the first things I cover is, what are the key issues and risks with cybersecurity? It's lost money and productivity. It's legal issues and compliance, right? It's operational, it's reputational. So, you get breached, you're in healthcare or, financial services. There's plenty of places where, you've got some big compliance issues. You might be able to, you're in a place where you can't bid contracts with federal government anymore, all kinds of things like that, right? But you're also required to report, So if you've got any kind of personal data about your clients, you're supposed to let them know, it can be quite punishing to get attacked. I'll tell you, just a few weeks ago, I got a call from a buddy of mine. He had a client that he had been planning on disengaging with. And the guy called up and he'd gotten hit with a ransomware. He had a couple of servers and a few computers, and he was completely shut down. And the criminals were demanding a $100,000 ransom in Bitcoin. Well, if you didn't have a Bitcoin account, it's going to take you 5 days just to get an account set up and make the payment. But I mobilized a team of engineers. We got out there. $9,000 later, just in fees to us, we've got him back running again. They were fortunately backing up their QuickBooks in a way that saw them taking the actual data offsite on a physical hard drive, but it was a month old. So while they didn't lose all their data, now they're going through trying to restore a month's worth of accounting data. They got off pretty easy. Now, okay, so they got most of their data back and they'll get that restored. But guess what? The bad guys have all of their data. And the new tactic these guys are using now is they'll come back and go, hey, I just posted a little of your data on the internet. Go take a look at it. If you don't pay the ransomware, I'm going to post more. I'm going to PR your data. Do you want your data out there? So, getting hit with a ransomware can have just layers of, lost money, productivity, compliance issues, operational issues. They weren't able to work for a week, right? And reputational issues. It's tough. And these big names, Microsoft, SolarWinds, LastPass, yeah, fine. It doesn't show up in the news every day. A little shop in Seattle with a few servers and a few computers. And it's happening every single day. Because these, like I say, every time I meet a prospective client, every time we do that analysis, they're almost always all red in security. They don't get it. They don't understand how much risk there is out there. It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah. One of my clients got hit by ransomware about 6 weeks ago. And they think they got in through they had parted company with a managed service provider they weren't happy with. The managed service provider got hacked, had all their login information. And of course they had their own servers and all of that on site. So that brings up the question, if you're in the cloud, if you're with AWS or Azure or any of the others, does that protect you at all?
No. And yes, you can, AWS has huge teams of people that all they care about is security. Microsoft, same thing. Are they vulnerable? Sure. If you're running your own server by yourself with no security expertise at all, you can almost guarantee it's full of holes. You can almost guarantee it. I have a friend who was security in the Air Force, left and ran his own cybersecurity business. And now he's now a mucky muck in IT in an 800 person company. He likes to say there are two kinds of companies. Those are that have been breached and those that will be breached. It's kind of like there's some, I was doing my weekly cybersecurity micro training. We subject ourselves to the same kind of cybersecurity training we provide to our clients. And they were talking about having your incident response plan, right? They were talking about going home and talking with your friends and family about, do you have an incident response plan? So you kind of, it's good to assume and think about what happens when you do get breached.
Yeah.
But there's plenty to do to prevent it. And you can sure bet I never want to be that MSP that gets hacked.
Right.
So it's our biggest investment all the time is security, for sure.
Okay. So let's talk about something that I know it's near and dear to your heart. I am looking at a website over here called howsecureismypassword.net. Passwords. I know that's the big thing in your industry because people do things like have the password be the word password.
Right, right.
Talk about password security.
Yeah, there's some schools of thought there. And I'll tell you what, I use right now, I use exactly the same password for my Office 365 account. It's just about what securitizes everything we've got here at CyberStreams. I've been using the password for 5.5 years. My partner, Matt Cordell, who I believe is nearly genius, talks a lot about how, passwords have only so much power, and it's multi-factor authentication and then other methods. I know, John, you've heard me talk about defense in depth. Yep. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been lots of breaches. You mentioned the dark web earlier. We do a dark web scan for our clients. We do it for our prospects to show them where they're at, and we do it for clients to show what's been grabbed. What happens over and over and over again is, I'll say, by the way, oftentimes it's the owner that is got the most breaches. It makes me laugh. And oftentimes it's the owner that has used their dog's name and 123 as their password over and over again. We'll see it on every single site they went to. That's the biggest problem right there, is using the same password over and over willy-nilly on the internet. So, Dropbox gets hacked. They get your username and password. And then they go, they actually will use AI to go out and try 50 different websites to try to log in as you on those. And that's usually how they successfully get through to you. I said there's a couple ways to go about it. What we recommend is going with a password manager. LastPass is a great choice. You can use it for free. And you go in there and you make a good, strong password for your LastPass. And then when you use LastPass to log into a new website, you let LastPass choose the password. And LastPass will choose a big, complicated password. You don't have to remember it. You know, you got some protection there. The second thing is, I use multi-factor authentication on every single website I can. LinkedIn, Facebook, if it's Wells Fargo, if it's possible, I turn it on. We talk to prospective clients and they say, we don't want to use two-factor authentication. It's too much trouble. And I say, well, if you're going to join my program, we're going to turn it on. You're going to have to use it. If you don't like that, don't hire me. So one more thing. If you're not going to do something like LastPass, then I advise people to create a password algorithm. What does that mean? Well, maybe you look at the domain name and you take the first letter, the third letter, and the last letter out of the domain name, and you incorporate that into your password that has some capital letters and dashes and things like that. And it might also make sense to count the number of letters in the domain, but using a couple of letters out of the domain and stitching them together in a more complicated password means that each password is unique, but you can remember it based on the domain that you're on.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yep. I still think, you know, using a password manager and multi-factor authentication, that's your best protection.
Okay. So what about the dark web?
So, you know, the dark web is the special place on the internet that you can only get to with criminal intent. You can't Google it. You know, you're not going to find it easily. It takes real effort to get there. And it's a bazaar of all sorts of crazy stuff that you can't imagine. Sex trade, stolen information, credit cards, drugs. It's just, if you can imagine it, it's there and available on the dark web.
Yeah.
When we do a dark web scan for our clients, there's one set of bad guys out there that are looking for information to peddle on the dark web. And there's another set of bad guys looking to purchase that information to use for attacks. And that's the ones we're most concerned about. So, you know, you talk about, LinkedIn has been breached. I'm trying to think of some of the big ones. I'm escaping the some of the big ones, but you've seen the chart I've pulled up where it has all the bubbles. There's been all these breaches, and you listen, they can have your social security number. They've got your birthday. They've got all kinds of stuff on you, you know? But the biggest risk that we see is they get your password off of one site and they go try it on a bunch of others. So you can protect yourself a good deal by making sure you're not using the same password every time. And you should be, if you're not getting a regular dark web scan, you should be signing up for that service and checking it out. So if a new breach comes on, you know to go write it and update your information so you protect it. But once the stuff's there, it's there. John, do you mind if I touch one other subject that this means a lot to me? I mentioned it earlier. Which is cybersecurity awareness training. And I think that really fits into all of that, this conversation, right? Because today about 60% of the breaches are starting from human error. It's clicking on that fish. And these bad guys are going out and they're farming data about small businesses.
Yeah.
You hear about the breaches on the big companies, but the small companies are the ones that are really lucrative because they're so easy. Like I said before, we do those scans and their security profile is terrible. It's really easy to breach. So, you know, if your company, you're not doing some kind of cybersecurity awareness program, you need to start that tomorrow. And it could be as simple as, you know, get that your youngest Gen Z employee to go out, do a Googling and pull up some infographics and have a team meeting, or sign up for KnowBe4, or, you know, I have a program that I provide to my clients, but find something like that where you're coaching and educating your folks on that. And I would say also, I have an email address called threatchecker@cyberstreams.com. So anybody at all, whether it's your grandma or a business associate thinks they're being phished, email out the threat checker and we'll look it over for you and tell you if it is or isn't. So,
yeah, I get multiple phishing attempts every day. And some of them are just blatantly obvious. Others you got to be a little careful of because they disguise it very well. I haven't seen this in a while, but I remember getting things from bankoamerica.com.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. No F, no of, just O. And yeah. You got to be real careful. So
I coach people on the slam method. My brain's locking up on slam. It's sender, link, attachment, message. So look at the sender. Is the actual email address the right email address? No, it's a fish, right? Hover over the link. Is it taking you to some weird website that you think it's Bank of America, but it says onlinelink.com, right? It's a fish. Is it got an attachment in it? Does that attachment look weird, right? Were you expecting an attachment? It's probably a fish. And then read the message. Quite often, these guys, they are not proofreading this stuff and they're not, English isn't their first language. So is it poorly written? You know, if you hit one of those three in slam, stop and don't touch anything on that email. Get your IT department involved.
Yeah, get that sender blocked.
Yeah.
So I got one more topic. And then if you have anything else, let me know. But talk about how artificial intelligence fits into all of this and what you see in its future with small business security, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, it's such a huge topic. I was just listening to a fascinating podcast yesterday with an artificial intelligence expert. She was talking about the four robots she has in their house and how they behave and some of this kind of stuff. And she said, you know, artificial intelligence is not yet as intelligent as an insect. And there's a lot of hype around it today. It's not nearly as big and threatening as people make it out to be. You know, I hear predictions about it overtaking humans by 2030, 2050, things like that. I don't think that's realistic. I think it could be hundreds, if not thousands of years out before you get AGI, artificial general intelligence, the ability to be human, right? Kind of simpler point AI, right? Very specific AI is pervasive in society today. You can log into Google and translate Chinese to English. That's artificial intelligence. You go into Microsoft now and you're typing a message and it starts predicting what you're going to say next. It's AI. It is going to enter every single workspace, every single process, everything. We're going to see it become immensely impactful on business. It's going to change jobs. And I think if I'd left people with one thought, it's this word cobot. John, before we started this, I was talking about my buddy who's immersed himself in AI. And he has a website called By Frost Bridge Studios, where he creates books and games and all kinds of interesting stuff. Some of it's about neurodiversity, autism, and then a lot about AI, the future of AI, the impact of AI. And he's working with collaborating with some folks at MIT and things like that. And they're really focused on the 9 to 13-year-olds because they believe that age group are going to be ones who can be very comfortable working alongside AI, working with the cobots and enriching, empowering their work life and their productivity with it. I'm thinking a lot about the new tools and features and functionalities that'll come into my business, but you know, it's a training I was taking today. This AI expert said, our team, we thought on and on and on about what industry is least likely to be impacted by AI, and they decided it was hairstylist. That it's just going to take a long time for AI to be able to develop a robot that can do a really great haircut. But anything else, it's there. There's a lot of opportunity. And much like cars wiped out the horse buggy industry, AI is going to wipe things out, but it has the potential to really enrich business, create new possibilities, efficiencies. It's worth keeping an eye on as a business owner.
Well, thank you, David. Again, this is David Henderson with cyberstreams.com. David Henderson at cyberstreams.com. And if you want to reach him and talk about any of this, both scary and productive stuff dealing with technology, 206-388-3084. So again, this is John Martinka with another episode of the Getting the Deal Done podcast series. Thank you for listening. And David, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you, John. This has been a real pleasure and an honor.